UN Security Council Resolution 2633 extends the arms embargo and renews targeted sanctions, a travel ban and asset freezes on certain individuals and entities. 10 out of the 15 Council members voted for renewing the embargo and sanctions. The remaining 5 member countries, China, Russia, India, Gabon and Kenya, abstained from voting on the US drafted resolution. Juba has repeatedly argued that its inability to buy guns has frustrated efforts to graduate the unified forces and reduce violence in the country. Government spokesperson Michael McQuay calls the votes an obstruction to implementation of the 2018 peace agreement.
It is unfortunate that the Security Council took such a decision to extend the arms embargo against the will of the people and the government of South Sudan. That is one. Number two, the Security Council has responded or passed a resolution based on one-sided information, because all the reports that have been presented by the so-called NGOs and the human rights organizations are one-sided information which are not substantiated.
Earlier this month, the UN panel of experts monitoring the sanctions on South Sudan recommended the Security Council extend the arms embargo due to what it called persistent ceasefire violations and intensifying violence in parts of the country. Last month, the body monitoring South Sudan's ceasefire said the renewed fighting in Unity and Upper Nile states between forces loyal to the SPLA-IO faction, allied to Simon Gadwich, and forces loyal to First Vice President Riek Machar were a threat to peace and undermined efforts to achieve a permanent ceasefire. McQuay argues the government needs guns in order to graduate unified armed forces, as is stipulated in the peace deal. He also asserts that the embargo has paralyzed law enforcement agencies and elevated the rise of ethnic militias in South Sudan.
With the arms embargo, we will not be in a position to graduate these forces with arms. So what we will do is that we will graduate them without arms, if that is what the international community wants to see. But if they are graduated without arms, what does it serve? These people who are graduated with will they be competent to be called soldiers or to be called an army? That is another thing. So we are, of course, we will be forced to graduate them, because this same international community has been on our neck.
The UN mission in South Sudan has said that revenge attacks and cattle-related killings remain the biggest insecurity challenge after political violence subsided in the country after the revitalized peace deal was signed in 2018. When asked why the government does not disarm the civil population and use those guns to graduate unified forces, McQuay says it is complicated.
It is true there are a lot of arms, but is it that easy to collect arms from armed civilians? And how long will it take for us to disarm the civil population so that we can arm our soldiers? For us to arm the civil population, the army must be well armed, so that whenever there is any resistance, they suppress it.
The South Sudan Foreign Affairs Ministry applauded the 5 countries that abstained from voting, saying their position sends a message that the sanctions and arms embargo is counterproductive. The ministry says South Sudan will continue to model reconciliation through the revitalized transitional government of national unity and called on friendly nations to support efforts to stabilize the country, including its rights to defend the territorial integrity of South Sudan. The UN panel of experts said the government's recent purchase of at least 2 dozen armored personnel carriers for police was a violation of the UN arms embargo. It also said civilians' conditions worsened due to violence, floods, displacement, and food insecurity. The resolution states the embargo shall not apply to the supply, sale, or transfer of non-lethal military equipment. The Council reiterated its readiness to review the embargo if the benchmarks have been achieved. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Juba.